Live from our nation's capital, it's the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Good evening, America. Welcome to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levine, reporting live from my home of Alexandria, Virginia, just across the river from Washington, D.C. Turned on the TV last night, another shooting, this time in Philadelphia. This time it involved six police officers. First they reported three, then five, then six. This after Dayton. Dayton, 13 hours after El Paso. El Paso, a couple days after Gilroy. The mass shootings, if you've noticed, are increasing in frequency. What was once something that almost never happened to something that happened once a decade to once every few years to every year to every month to every week and now to every day. The epidemic of gun violence is a pandemic. To me, it is like Ebola. It is something that is killing us faster than it ever has before, and we're doing little to nothing to stop it. I remember just a few years ago, I used to talk about 30,000 Americans dying every year at the hand of guns. That's around the time we passed the car numbers for Americans dead at the hand of cars, and then it was 33,000, and then it was 35,000. Well, now we've jumped up to 40,000 Americans dead every year at the hands of a gun. If you do the math, you find that an American is killed every 15 minutes at the hand of a gun. In this broadcast, four Americans on average will die. It's daytime, probably more than four. But on average, four Americans who are alive at the beginning of this broadcast will be dead at the end of this broadcast due to guns. Now, two-thirds of those will be suicides. Almost a third will be murders, but in between, there's this percentage of accidents, children playing with guns, people not locking guns up. And the question is anyone going to do anything about it, right? As I was watching what was going on in Philadelphia last night, I had my usual reaction. Horror, sadness, and above all, anger. Not so much anger at the horrible shooter killing police officers. There's no real point in being angry at him. I mean, he's a horrible human being, but his life is over. Anger at the American politicians who are doing nothing to stop gun violence. Angry that we've come to this point. Angry that another preventable crime could have been stopped, but wasn't. There is a goal. A goal by, let's face it, the National Rifle Association, the Republican Party, to get us used to gun violence. They want to normalize it. They want us to think just another day. As Jeb Bush famously said about, I forget which act of mass gun violence, stuff happens. Stuff happens. You're walking along one day with your family, and all of a sudden you're gunned down, and everyone loses their lives, and a bunch of children are shot in a school, and a bunch of people are shot dead in a theater, or in a nightclub in Orlando, or at a government office in Virginia Beach, or at a school at Columbine, or at a preschool in Newtown, or just having fun in Dayton, or because you're Latino in El Paso, or because you're black in Charleston, or because you're Jewish in Pittsburgh, or because you're gay in Orlando. They just keep going on and on and on. And I know what the standard response is. The standard response is, I'm so sorry. That's really horrible. My thoughts for your family, my prayers for your family. Did you see Governor DeWine of Ohio? Did you see him? A day after the Dayton shootings, maybe 2 days, he goes out there and he says, "I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. We want to show you that we're doing all we can to show our concern." Not doing all we can to stop gun violence. We're doing all we can to show our concern. We're going to give you lots of tears. Lots of tears and loves and hugs and candlelight vigils. And I'm not against tears and love and hugs and candlelight vigils. There's nothing wrong with thoughts and prayers. But if that's all we get, the murders will just increase. The violence will just grow. The pandemic will just spread. There'll be more Americans shot dead tomorrow and tomorrow and tomorrow. Unless we do something about it, the thoughts and the prayers are meaningless. Frederick Douglass famously said, he prayed to God for 20 years. Frederick Douglass, of course, the great orator who was a slave in the 1800s, activist. He prayed to God for 20 years. And nothing happened. And then he prayed with his legs. And the moment he prayed with his legs, everything changed. The moment he prayed with his legs, God answered his prayer. It's time for us to pray with our legs. It's time for us to do something to stop the scourge of gun violence. And we'll talk about how to do that right after the break. Toll-free number is 888-488-MARK. Right back after this.
He's a Bible-quoting, Constitution-loving, flag-waving, red-blooded, liberal American. He's Mark Levine. Give him a call now at 888-488-MARK. That's 888-488-6275. Of reason in an unreasonable world. Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levine, talking about the pandemic of gun violence. You know, anytime we confront tragedy, we confront horror, we have to decide what we're going to do about it. I remember once being in an elevator that was falling. I was 18. I was with a bunch of kids. We were doing something stupid like seeing how many kids we could fit in an elevator. Not smart. And the elevator started to go up, and then it shuddered, and then it started to fall. And I remember my first thought. My first thought was, it's not free falling, right? If it were free falling, we'd be floating up. It's descending fast, but it's got some kind of stabilizer in there. It's not like, you know, the elevator was cut and we're falling. So I immediately thought, okay, we're fine. A bunch of people were screaming in the elevator. And then we hit the ground. It's a sudden jolt, but it wasn't, you know, more than a jolt. And I remember at least one young girl fainted. And the lights went out. And for a second before the lights went out, the ceiling starts to fall. And I remember putting my hand up and finding that the ceiling was plastic. And I'm like, okay, plastic ceiling won't hurt anybody. And then I was near the buttons, and I pushed the door open button. It didn't work. So I reached to pull the doors open. And that did work, and then I helped people climb out of the elevator. And afterwards, a lot of people said to me, "Wow, why weren't you screaming? Why weren't you crying? Why weren't you upset? How did you stay so calm?" And my thought was, calm? I had a job to do. I mean, it wasn't a big job. I'm in an elevator, but I don't have time to be scared. I'm just going to try to open the door and get people out of here. Why? Why would you faint? Why would you cry? And again, I understand a lot of these things are involuntary. But I've always been pretty good in a crisis, if I dare say so myself. I've always been focused on the task at hand. And I think back to those doctors that are dealing with Ebola in Africa or wherever it is, or SARS. Pick your epidemic, your pandemic, your terrible, terrifying disease that kills. Ebola is gruesome. It's a horrible, horrible disease. It doesn't just kill you very quickly. It turns you inside out. I mean, you're throwing up and you're, sorry for my language, you're defecating. You're just, every part of your body is expelling dangerous viral-laden matter. And you do that before you die. It's terrible. And the caregivers have got to protect themselves so they don't get the virus, which is very easy to catch. And at the same time, they're trying to treat the person who's dying. And at the exact same time, they and scientists have to work to make sure others don't get the disease, to chase down people who have it, to try to stop it from spreading before it's too late. I don't mean to compare in any real way my tiny little example in the elevator with the very severe crisis of Ebola. But you can see that if everyone suffering from Ebola, if all people did was mourn and cry and faint and be scared, that would all be justified. That would all be completely justified. And if you had vigils for the people who died from Ebola, completely justified. I understand the need to mourn. I understand the need to deal with pain. But if you did nothing but mourn for the victims of Ebola and you didn't work to stop Ebola from spreading, more people would die. There'd be more funerals. And going to funeral after funeral and crying and giving thoughts and prayers and not doing anything to stop the spread of the virus, that is not just unproductive, that is counterproductive. Frederick Douglass said, "I prayed for 20 years and God did not hear my prayers until I prayed with my legs, until I got up and did something to help myself, to stop the condition I was in." And God knows Frederick Douglass had every reason to be frightened. He's enslaved. He has no rights. And yet he prayed with his legs and he helped defeat slavery. Became a great American hero. When I see gun violence, I see the same tension. We can't talk about doing anything. People are dying. People are being shot. People are being shot. We have to worry about the people being shot. We have to mourn for them. Don't talk about gun violence. We have to mourn for the victims. Well, I certainly wasn't blocking first responders in Philadelphia. But I wasn't going to stop talking about gun violence just because gun violence was occurring. In fact, I think we have to talk more about gun violence when gun violence is occurring. Mitch McConnell has a plan, and it's not that subtle, and it goes something like that, like this. Don't talk about gun violence when it's occurring. It's crass to mention it. It's crass to try to elect people based upon it. It's crass to try to change gun laws. Don't talk about it. Don't talk about it. Don't talk about it. Oh, it's not happening. Oh, well, out of mind. You know that old song, Turkey in the Straw? You ever heard that old Arkansas, I think, song? The wife tells her husband, "Hey, there's a hole in the roof. Get up and fix the roof." And the guy says, "It's raining." "I can't fix the roof now. It's raining." So, all right. So the wife waits. The rain pours in the house. Then one sunny day, she says, All right, husband, go out and fix the roof." And he says, "Why would I fix the roof? I don't see a problem. There's no rain coming in." That's how we're treating gun violence. We're treating gun violence like we're not going to do anything about it when it's occurring. And then when it's not occurring, we're not going to think about it. That's not an answer. We need to take action now. We need to stop the next attack. I couldn't do anything to save the officers in Philadelphia, but I could do something to save people in Virginia. How are we going to save people in Virginia? How are we going to save people in the United States? By having good gun laws. Gun laws that we know reduce gun violence. Time and time again. Background checks. Red flag laws, also known as extreme risk protective orders, where someone says, hey, this guy is threatening to kill black people. Let's take his gun away. Or threatening to kill gay people or Muslims or Jews or Hispanics or add your group. Hey, he threatened to kill his wife. Let's take away his gun. Background checks to say, hey, this guy in Philadelphia, he's got a rap sheet a mile long. Let's not legally sell him any more guns. How about that? Because I don't know what the law is in Pennsylvania, but I can tell you in Virginia, it is perfectly legal today to sell guns to someone with a rap sheet a mile long. No, it's not legal for the criminal to buy, but they're a criminal, right? They don't follow those laws. But it's legal to sell them. Because if you're not a gun dealer, you don't have to do a background check. And if you don't have to do a background check, you can sell to Charles Manson. Oh, I didn't know he was Charles Manson. Oh, well, I sold him an AK-47 and he went and shot a bunch of people. I'm so sorry. Oh, no, I won't pay for the funerals. No, I won't take any responsibility for it. Background checks save lives. And the 17 states where they have them, gun violence is down, homicides are down, suicides are down. States that have banned high-capacity magazines, lives are saved. In fact, a lot of times it's gun violence that occurs. People say, oh, well, gun violence occurs in Chicago. That's because Chicago borders Indiana. Oh, we have all these good gun laws in California. Why does gun violence still occur? Because the killer bought his gun in Nevada. You want to know the safest place to live in the United States of America? It's Hawaii. Because they have good gun laws and they don't have any bordering states to mess them all up. So we can take action in Virginia. In fact, Virginia guns tend to go up and down the Northeast. We can pass these laws. But, sorry to get partisan here, but the Virginia Republicans have said, we will do nothing to stop gun violence. They have made it their point. We had a special session just a month ago. The governor said we're going to only talk about gun violence. You know what the Republicans said? We won't consider any gun bills put forward by anyone, any Democrat, any Republican, none of them. We don't want to do anything because voters don't want to do anything. So we're going to wait until after the election. We're going to let the voters decide what to do. Okay. Fine. You can do that in democracy. Republicans said they want to do nothing to stop gun violence. Democrats said we want to do everything to stop gun violence. The voters will decide in November. That means it's up to you. And it's up to me. And we can do something. I'll talk more about that after the break. We'll be right back, right after this.
He's a Fulbright scholar and he speaks French, but he couldn't tell you who won the Super Bowl. It's Mark Levine. Give him a call now at 888-488-MARK. Back to the Aggressive Progressive, Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levine. So as I said, I was sitting here watching Philadelphia play out, thinking, oh, this time it's police. You know, last time it was Hispanics, and the time before that it was a guy shooting his sister because he hears voices, and a bunch of other people in Dayton, and a garlic festival in Gilroy, and, you know, we start to not remember them all. How can we remember Aurora and Columbine and Newtown and Nashville and Pittsburgh and Orlando and Columbine, and there's at least 100 I've forgotten. And I'm thinking to myself, like I was sitting in that elevator years ago, what can we do to stop gun violence? Clearly thoughts and prayers aren't sufficient. And I think I've mentioned this, but I watched the people of Dayton, Ohio say to their governor, do something. Don't just tell us how much you care. Do something. So I thought, well, what can I do? I can't pass legislation in Virginia. The Republicans have said we won't have any gun legislation in Virginia. They've said no gun legislation. Doesn't matter what it is, we won't even consider it. Doesn't matter whether a Democrat offers it, doesn't matter a Republican offers it, doesn't matter whether it's background checks or red flag laws or assault weapons bans, we won't consider anything of any kind whatsoever. That's their position. They have a right to hold that position. You know, we had a gun law, gun bill, didn't become law, that I co-patroned last year that said you shouldn't be able to hand a loaded gun to a child under the age of 5. A preschooler, a toddler. If you hand a loaded gun to a toddler, we were going to charge you with a crime. And Republicans said, nope, no new gun laws. We told you, Mark, no new gun laws. If a 4-year-old shoots themselves or shoots someone else, well, as Jeb Bush said, stuff happens. Now, you may think that's crazy. I've had people that don't believe me. I have to show them the actual law before they're like, oh, Mark, I guess you're right. Republicans have made it very clear. The National Rifle Association and their constituents won't let them have any new gun laws whatsoever, won't let them enforce gun laws better. They want to do nothing about gun violence. That's their position. Democrats, well, we have a different position. We think gun violence is a bad thing. We think that lives shouldn't be lost. We think we should protect innocent people from being gunned down. So we have a difference of opinion. Republicans want to do nothing about gun violence. Democrats want to do everything about gun violence. Now note that none of this is about the specifics of the proposals, right? If any Republican wanted to talk with me about my ban on high-capacity magazine clips or my ban on bump stocks or which assault weapons I think, military-style weapons, should not be allowed to the public and why I think machine guns are rightfully banned, why I think tanks are rightfully banned, we could have that discussion. You know, my bill didn't ban all semi-automatic guns. It banned semi-automatic center file with the stocks that allow you to shoot from the waist. We can get into all those technical gun details. But not a single Republican in the General Assembly called me up and said, Mark, I'm willing to support your bill if you amend it to do this. Just stop bump stocks and I'll support it. It's not much, but it's something. No, they said we won't consider any bills no matter what they say, and we will specifically close this session, and they closed the session after 90 minutes, actually kind of before it started, just after the introductory morning hour, they closed the session, and they said, we don't think Virginians care about gun violence, so we're going to put it off until after the election. If Virginians show us through their election that they care about gun violence, we'll consider doing something. And if Virginians show us through their election by reelecting Republicans that they want us to do nothing, we will do nothing. Let the voters decide. And you know what? That's not a terrible option. If Republican legislators don't want to do anything about gun violence, well, the second choice is let the voters decide. That's what we do to democracy. As Governor Ralph Northam has said, if we can't change their minds, we change their seats. That's how democracy works. And I know we can't change their minds. They've said you can't change our minds. We will do nothing about gun violence. So I'm going to work to change their seats. So I'm sitting here watching police in Philadelphia. I hear there's a couple taken hostage. I hear that the guy's still shooting. I hear the mayor complaining about the firepower by this guy with several gun convictions, who shouldn't have access to that firepower and wouldn't have access to that firepower if there were decent background check laws. And I'm thinking, what can we do? Well, we can mourn, but that doesn't stop gun violence. We can cry. We can give our thoughts and prayers. That doesn't stop gun violence. Doctors are running out to the scene to treat the police officers, and they should, and that's a good thing, and I'm glad they're doing it, like the people that help the people with Ebola. But they don't stop future gun violence. They help the people who've been shot now. And no one's getting away with those doctors. But what could I do? What could you do? What could we do to actually stop the next attack from occurring, which may well occur tonight or tomorrow or the next day? In fact, we know, as I said, every 15 minutes someone's gunned down. they're not all mass shootings. Mass shootings are actually a small percentage of gun crimes. What can I do? Well, I can't pass a law, but I can work to elect others who can pass laws. If we get a majority, we Democrats get a majority in the Virginia General Assembly, we will pass laws that will reduce gun violence. We will save lives. We could save hundreds of lives in Virginia. If Congress would get to act, we could save tens of thousands of lives across the nation. But we can't do it by persuading Republicans. They've said we're not interested in any discussion on gun violence. We can only do it by electing Democrats. So I did something that some would consider controversial. What did I do? I put on my Facebook page a donation link. And I said, if you want to stop gun violence, if you want to do something and not just sit there and be horrified, you donate funds and I will give every penny donated to a candidate who supports actions to reduce gun violence, who supports background checks, who supports risk flag laws or high-capacity magazine bans. And I will match every donation that's given to me. Every single donation I will match. I will give that donation away, and I will match it. So actually, anyone who donated to me yesterday, up through today, if you donate right now, and I'll give you the link, it's markfordelegate.com/donate. You just go to my website, markfordelegate.com, markfordelegate.com. Click on donate or markfordelegate.com/donate. If you donate today in response to this broadcast, I will give every penny away to another candidate in Virginia who will work to stop gun violence. And I will match that donation from my campaign. You're going to lower the amount of money in my campaign. This isn't about me because none of the money goes to me. And it is about my campaign because every donation actually decreases the money in my campaign. So all those people complaining, oh my God, Mark Levine is fundraising off of gun violence. You know why I'm fundraising off of gun violence? Because I want to stop gun violence. If I didn't want to stop gun violence, I wouldn't be fundraising. And it was considered controversial, though I'm not sure why. So I'm running unopposed. I'm on the ballot in November. I have no opponent. I'm not using my campaign money for me. I'm using it to help others get elected. I'm using it because we have 48 Democrats in the Virginia General Assembly. We had 49, one resigned. That seat we can get back. It's really, we're two seats away. If we get a majority, there's 100 delegates in Virginia. If we get 51, what I call Mission 51, we can pass decent gun laws in Virginia. And that would not only transform Virginia, it would help the whole Northeast. Because you know where New York criminals get their guns? The biggest out-of-state place they get it? Virginia. The biggest out-of-state place where Pennsylvanians get their guns? Virginia. And in New Jersey? Comes from Virginia. Maryland, of course, from Virginia. Delaware. Massachusetts. The whole Northeast Coast has decent gun laws, but because Virginia has terrible gun laws, that's where the dangerous people get their guns. The same way that the shooter in California got their guns from Nevada. The same way the shooters in Chicago get their guns from Indiana. The same reason why D.C.'s gun laws don't work. They tried in D.C., but they come to Virginia. We can save lives not just in Virginia, but all up and down the Northeast Coast. So, yeah, I did it. All you haters out there, I did it. I put a donation link up in the middle of the Philadelphia shooting, and everyone said, wait till the bodies are cold, Mark. Wait till the bodies are cold. The bodies are never cold. We have a shooting every 15 minutes in America. Bodies aren't cold in 15 minutes. What am I supposed to do? Wait till minute 14 and then wait again and then wait again and then wait and wait? Tomorrow and tomorrow and tomorrow creeps in this petty pace to the last syllable of recorded time? Sorry, William Shakespeare. When does it all end? It ends when we do something. When I do something, when you do something. Now, longtime listeners of my show, and I've been doing the Inside Scoop now for 15 years. Going on 16 years, actually. You know that I never ask for money on this show. I just never do. Lots of radio hosts talk about money all the time. I don't. I do this radio show to be informative, not to ask for money. And what I'm saying is, none of this money goes to me. Not a penny goes to me. None of it goes to Mark Levine. And even though it's going to go through my campaign, you can look at my – we got to file these forms, and they show where the money's going to go. You will see that every donation I get today and yesterday, I will donate to a candidate who wants to stop gun violence in Virginia. And I will match that donation with my own campaign funds. So you'll get two for one. And anyone doesn't think I'm going to do it, well, you know what? We file the forms in September. You can look and see that I actually kept my word. And all these people who think it's crass – it's crass to try to stop gun violence? No, 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 Mark, it's not crass to try to stop gun violence. It's crass to raise money to try to stop gun violence. Yeah, why? Would you raise money to stop Ebola? Would you raise money to stop Ebola from spreading? Would you raise money to stop the AIDS virus from spreading? Should all we do is mourn the dead? You know, when the AIDS crisis happened, gay people didn't just mourn the dead. Yeah, the dead deserved mourning, and we should care about their lives, of course. But they also banded together to demand that the government take action to find a cure. In fact, we largely succeeded. Today, there are drugs that make the HIV virus undetectable. But that wouldn't have happened without activism. Ebola wouldn't have stopped without activism. And gun violence will not stop in America without activism. It's not just about me, it's about you. If you live in Virginia, yeah, I want you to elect people who care about stopping gun violence. But if you live in Oklahoma, you also need to care. And if you live in Pennsylvania, and if you live in Nevada, or Massachusetts, or New York, or New Mexico, wherever you live, you can take action to stop gun violence, but only if you act. Not thoughts, not prayers, not even candlelight vigils. As beautiful as they are, as much as they tear my heart, they may make me feel good. Remember Frederick Douglass. I prayed for 20 years. God didn't listen to my prayers until I prayed with my legs. This is Mark Levine. Be right back for a final word after this.
He's a Harvard economist and a Yale lawyer. He does not keep up with the Kardashians. He's Mark Levine. Give him a call now at 888-488-MARK. That's 888-488-6275. Got a conservative who casually misquotes the Bible and the Constitution? Send him to school with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levine. In the midst of the AIDS crisis, there were two groups of gay people. There were the ones who were politely asking President Ronald Reagan to say something about the AIDS crisis and trying to work with the Surgeon General, Dr. Anthony Fauci, trying to get some federal money to try to stop the increasing deaths. People were dying 10,000 a year, then 20,000, then 30,000, then 40,000, then 50,000 a year. One group of gay people and activists were patiently petitioning the government for help. And then there was another group. They called themselves ACT UP. And they acted up. They did die-ins in front of churches where people would lie on the ground with blood showing. They got in people's faces. They said, "Why aren't you saving lives?" And oh my God, were they condemned. They were crass. They were impolite. Yeah, they were. But the government finally started funding the medications needed to save lives, to stop it. And so lives lost to AIDS peaked at 50,000, and they went down thereafter. You know, the same could be said of civil rights movement 50 years earlier. Right? We had Booker T. Washington working with the white people and shucking and driving and saying, oh, please, sir. Yes, sir. And then you have people like W.B. Du Bois 100 years ago who, and then even later, Martin Luther King, and even later, Malcolm X, who said, you know what? We're going to be loud. We're not going to be impolite because people are dying. There were suffragettes, right? There were the women who were polite and said, please, please, men, can we vote? And then the ones who marched in the streets and demanded a right to vote. There always will be two groups. Some have said it was very impolite of me. I'm not sure who was impolite to. I don't know anyone in Philadelphia. It was impolite of me to try to stop gun violence in the midst of gun violence. It was impolite of me to ask for donations, not to me, but to other candidates who would stop gun violence. How crass of me to try to stop the next gun attack while the current gun attack was occurring. I respectfully disagree. I think if you care about stopping violence, you do something to stop violence. Sorry, Governor Mike DeWine, you're wrong. Sorry, all these Democrats who, oh, no, no, Mark is being rude. I'm not being rude. I'm an elected representative. I have every right to encourage people to do something, to get up and do something to stop gun violence. If you can't contribute, go out and canvass and work and go door to door and elect candidates who will stop gun violence. This isn't just a Virginia issue. This is even more a national issue. Have you called your senator today? Have you called your representative today? Have you demanded that Moscow Mitch McConnell allow the people of the Senate to vote for background checks? Heck, even Trump, who I never praise, has claimed he supports background checks and risk flag laws. So yeah, Virginia Republicans are way to the right of Donald Trump. Let's hold the president to his word. Let's start marching in the streets. Let's be impolite. If impoliteness saves thousands of lives, put me down for being impolite. I'm not trying to be crass. I'm not trying to be rude. I'm trying to say lives are lost if we don't act. And that's not impoliteness. That's simple truth. Like the AIDS activists who were doing die-ins in front of churches. If we don't act, more people will die. That is a fact. So all you Democrats who are so nervous about taking a stand, well, I disagree with you. If you can't be part of the solution, you're part of the problem. Get out of the way. All right, got a few minutes left. I do want to go to Old Faithful, Michael from the Bronx. How are you, sir?
Hi. All right, real quick. Number one, there should be no debate because we have a bipartisan solution right there. For Mitch McConnell to wait till middle of September, that's 1 month away. We all know what can happen 1 month. But the one question you never asked, Mark, where in the name of Jesus, Mary, Joseph, and Almighty God are the so-called pro-lifers in all of this?
Oh, I know what they're doing. They're attacking me for supporting Planned Parenthood. The pro-lifers are defending the Second Amendment. All these people, oh my God, oh, we have to save the sperm. Every sperm is sacred. Don't throw away your used condoms. We have to protect used tampons. But children being shot dead? They're like, nope, nope, people have a right to have guns. Give me a break. If you're pro-life, you should care as much about innocent children as you do about unwanted sperm or eggs. This is Mark Levine signing off.